Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the Mix 104.1 app, or the ESPN 101.3 app, you can do that too. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at Eco Park Speedway. Still want to call that Atlanta Motor Speedway. It never should change. And hear from your winner again. Mr. Protein Bar, I'll have to tell you a little bit about that, Tate, here in a little bit. But Tyler Reddick, we head to Texas. Who cares? To run at COTA? Get that thing off the schedule. And I can't tell you how excited I am. Everyone in the studio is excited about it. The only thing more exciting than the Rick Cart fantasy standings, and Scott wasn't too excited about that. I don't think the other two of us were either.
The most exciting thing is we're all together for the first time.
Yes, that's a pilot. I'm just going to say something about that. Let me get to it. Plus Chase standings, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio, right, all things Alabama. That'd be Jason Hildebrand, the man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, keeping us on the air. He sits across the table in the USA hockey jersey over there.
Well, popular that's squad. That's why we played Freebird today, buddy.
That's right. It's Super Producer Scott Webb. So some of the drivers, especially Christopher Bell, after getting hit by Carson Hocevar, he needed a prescription for some medication to calm him down. Luckily for them, Mouse Creek Pharmacy has grown, as most people do when they advertise with us, so much so that they needed another location. That's right. The same great hometown service can now be found at their newest location, Georgetown Pharmacy. And you guessed it, it's right off of Georgetown Road in Georgetown, Tennessee. Get away from that big box store and visit Mouse Creek or Georgetown Pharmacy today. All right, let's hit the heater dud meter. Listen, it took me a while. It's kind of like the power rankings we had like 12 years ago that I was so good at.
I had to tell him last week how they worked again.
Yeah. Still trying to figure that out.
Exactly.
I think I have it now. So in normal scenarios.
We need a tutorial.
I'm in banking. So the higher the number, the better, right? If I close a big loan, that's good. If I close a small loan, no bueno, but good interest rate, good.
Think of it as golf.
Okay, right. That's better. There you could go. Have done that. And I played last Friday. So I'm giving it a one.
He must have been high. You know? Yeah.
Best race on the circuit as we have it right now.
Hands down.
I don't even know if it's debatable.
Can we give it a zero?
That's what I'm giving.
Yeah.
It's just the base. It's just the changes they made just made it the best racing.
I just worry about how long
series.
It's going to last.
That's well, I mean, that's. I mean, there's always that, but let's not be depressed about things that may happen in the future. Let's celebrate what's going on right now. And there's a whole lot of tracks that could handle some reconfiguration, if you will, to make
narrowing
something to make the racing a little more exciting. But this place has been electric since they done the repave and redesign.
And Scott, we touched on this a little bit last week. Don't you remember all the former drivers and stuff being so critical? Like Dale Earnhardt Jr. was very critical, not wanting them to repave Atlanta.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's the best thing that ever happened down there.
Don't ever question Dale Earnhardt Jr.
No, he was wrong.
Right.
He wanted to see the tire wear.
It was the tire wear thing. It was a handling tire wear thing.
And I get it. That place was, please don't.
That place was abrasive, and you had a lot of comers and goers in that race, and it was about trying to find some model of consistency. But now we're just getting fabulous racing from green flag to checkered flag. I mean, it's just been an electric factory the last few years because it puts on a great show, and it doesn't matter the time of the year. It could the spring race, the summer race. It has been outstanding racing from start to finish every time they've gone through Atlanta the last few years.
That's what I was going to touch on. You said start to finish. There's never a lull in that race now. There's never a time where it's just like, nothing's going on. They're just following the leader.
And if you notice, they've gotten a little more spread out. It's not quite as nose to tail as it once was, but the racing is just terrific, and you can create runs, and there's enough in the design of the track, especially coming off four and coming on the front stretch, where you've got to really pay attention. They had some issues this weekend with an exceptionally windy day on Sunday, with handling played a big role in it. But the race just produces. And if you could make that the sport, I think you would see an increase in attendance and numbers, all sorts of things, because it just puts on a great show.
I want to say something here in a second, but first, that heater dud meter is brought to you by County Commissioner Mylon Blake, who says, don't be a dud. Make sure you vote in the Republican primary in May. And when you do re-elect or click to re-elect, Mylon Blake as District 3 County Commissioner. So, you know, some of the old school people, such as Mark Martin, other people like that, would probably not call that racing, because there was no, I mean, you had to have some strategy as far as how long you stayed in the pits and stuff like that, because you could get, if you lost track position, it become rather difficult to be able to get it back. And if you finished, you know, or were in 10th or further back, I guess, it was more difficult to get to the front. But so is there that? Is that where we are now, where it's super speedway racing?
I don't know. I think I disagree. Totally disagree. I thought that the racing,
not the first time that's ever happened, by the way.
I think, you know, we saw tires probably play a much bigger role in this race than we saw at the what we traditionally see at a super speedway, because we saw guys be able to go from the back to the front, especially if they had newer tires. So to me, it just epitomized what a good NASCAR race should be at a track that size. And it had all the elements. You had, you know, you had the intrigue of when would there be a big accident. You had to make sure you were good in the pits. You had to make sure you were putting on tires at the right time. It just had all the ingredients to make a great race, and I thought it delivered yet again this past week.
And, Jason, you texted me through, I guess, some part of the race or a group text and was like, man, I can't believe there's not more people there with that type of racing and stuff like that.
How cold it was.
Yeah, you had to think that's probably one. But, listen, Saturday – if I were to buy a ticket, and it's probably $30 to stay the whole day, but I'm going next year or maybe even in July to, if they run the trucks there on Saturday, and I'll stay all day and watch. The Xfinity race was fantastic, along with the truck race as well. Just a lot of intrige, a lot of racing.
I got
stuff
a hot
like that.
Take that the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series may be better.
Yeah, I need to.
Overall,
it's the it didn't even roll off. Xfinity Series at least rolls off your tongue.
You got to get a little. You just got to have a little dedication. You're a professional.
I'll just call it the OR. We'll just go with that. So
I still call it the old name,
Bush.
The Bush Series.
Got to hold
the
it. Bush Series. All right, we've got. So this is kind of the thing. We have 11 listeners. I think we figured out. Now I think we have 13, or at least Keith used to listen to us. I don't know if he listens to us now. So maybe just 12. Overall, and this is in 13 years, so maybe 13 listeners, 13 years. We gain one a year. Who knows?
One a year.
And four of them are my family, so works out really well. But Tate White's a huge fan of NASCAR. He's a Chase Elliott fan. I mean, isn't everybody? I mean, you know, what is he, most popular driver, I guess, that he wins all the time. And become a Chase Elliott fan because of all the diecast that his grandparents left you, I guess, or that you found. Is that right? Your aunt? Who was it? You have to get up on that? There you go. There you go. Your mom's aunt left you a bunch of Bill Elliott diecast, and then he graduates into the Chase Elliott deal. So, Tate, pull that microphone up close because you're going to have to give a hot take here. What did you think about Atlanta?
I think it was good.
Tate, you got to give a little more than I think it was good. What else did you think? What about the racing? Was it different? Did you like it? Did it keep you glued to the TV?
It definitely kept me glued to the TV. Handling was an issue all day for most of them.
Yep.
Saw a lot of guys get loose. There's almost wrecks many times in the race. So
that's way better analysis than you give.
This is exactly right. And he's wearing a Tennessee hat, so that makes it even better. So be interested.
Did you understand loose? Do I have to explain loose to you?
I got that. And there's tight, too, which there wasn't much of that the other day.
There was none of that.
No, let's talk about Carson Hocevar.
Unless you're driving the six car.
This is true. Carson Hocevar and the hits just keep on coming as far as the list of people that hate him. Here's the thing that as I throw my paperwork down like I'm about to have something really inspiring to say, I get tired of people trying to find the new Dale Earnhardt. Like, why do we keep trying to label? It was Kyle Busch for a while. I think Kevin Harvick probably had a shot at it. You know, Ross Chastain, when he was wrecking everybody in the whole field, he was the next Dale Earnhardt. Everybody wants to find a Dale Earnhardt. How
it's
about
the
we
gold
just,
standard.
Yeah, but how about we just let the guy hit people, let retribution happen, and let's just go on. That kind of makes it entertaining for me. I don't have to –
There'll never be another Dale Murphy. There'll never be another, Mickey Mantle. Let's quit trying to find people to compare him to. Carson Hocevar is young. He goes for it. He's not going to – I mean, when he goes out on the track, it's 100%, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win. Don't we want somebody like that instead of somebody that's just, the sponsorship guy that's out there and doesn't want to really get into a mess, wants to have a good finish and keep his car clean?
All I know is I saw a couple clips this week. I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts, but I ran across it on X. I tell you, Denny Hamlin doesn't like it. The drivers don't like it. But I'll tell you what, Richard Petty loves it. So, I mean,
if you don't like it, deal with it. Yeah, you have the opportunity.
But Petty's throwing out the Earnhardt. He said, that's the way Earnhardt did it. That's the way he did it. He said it's the closest thing he's seen.
But I don't agree, though. Earnhardt wouldn't have stuck it there at the end into try to fit it into something that wasn't going to, like a square peg or a circle peg in a square hole, however you want to do it. I think that's
debatable. That's debatable.
Are we rewriting history here?
He would wreck you, but I don't know that he would do something.
He may have been a little bit better of a driver and may have had a little more talent, but he would have definitely.
He would have moved you if he had to.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he would have been
I don't get it. I don't get all the uproar. I mean, this is the same thing. They did the same thing to Ross Chastain. If they don't race like they want him to race, then everybody has issue with it. I have zero issue with it because
it makes for great radio.
It makes for great radio and great racing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes for entertainment because you don't know what's going to happen. And I would much rather have that than to play follow the leader for 3.5 hours on Sunday.
Absolutely.
I like aggressiveness.
Yeah. I don't mind it. Like, I just don't want – like, let him be his own person.
Yeah.
If Kevin Harvick said, I'd have already wrecked him. Well, fine.
Well, wait till one of the Hendrick cars gets wrecked, Rick Hendrick goes whines about it, and then you're going to see a driver having to go out there and kind of take steps back Chastain has.
And never has been the same since. Right. If you took the aggressiveness out of Ross Chastain, which has made him then just be ho-hum and not good at all, which I think – has been a big deal, and I hope that doesn't happen with Hocevar, because I think he is he's a heck of a talent, mm-hmm. and probably has enough money to stay in the sport. All right, let's go to Shock Finish of the Week.
Shock Finisher of the Week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Caldwell Paving and Grading, locally owned for 2 generations. Caldwell Paving and Grading paves driveways, roads, and they have their own asphalt plant, so they can do interstates too. Give them a call, 423-336-3841. You'll be shocked how good they are. I'm going with a 97. Had, not my favorite driver. Has no talent, but somehow wound up getting into the top 10 after wrecking, I think, going through the infield twice and getting lucky and not tearing up his front valance.
You're going to end up regretting that, because if he can perform on these mile and a halfs out there, the whole field is in trouble.
Yeah,
I've got 3 shock finishers.
Oh, good.
Hocevar because he didn't wreck himself. Because, it's bound to happen. When you're banging that many cars around, you're bound to get caught up.
And he hit everything but the pace car?
That's right. and then SVG.
Yeah.
And Zane Smith. You look at that dude. I mean, he's sitting there really, fourth or fifth in points right now after 2 races? I know it's early, but, wow. Zane Smith, I wouldn't have had that on my bingo card.
And I would go with that. I just want to see – this will be our first race coming up here where it's going to take a little more than horsepower and being able to put yourself in the right position at draft – and not a drafting track, I guess.
At COTA?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
He may run good at COTA. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, it's a piece of crap. Who wants to go there? So – Tate White?
Well, I'll take –
let's get ahead. Tate first. No. You got a shock finisher of the week, Tate?
I think the shock finisher of the week, probably Tyler Reddick, the winner.
Ah, I could go with that.
Because you see the front end, you think that's detrimental damage to your car.
I think he's cheating, Tate. I think that's what's happened. They use something to make that happen. So.
Oh, boy, that'd be dicey if it were.
It would be dicey. That was good. Nice.
What do you got, Whip?
Well, Tate stole mine. I was totally going to take the 45 car just for exactly what he said. If you can sustain that kind of damage at a track that is aero-dependent as that track is and still find a way to put that car out front, I just tip your cap and say, job well done. You have no business winning this race, but they did.
What holes did they have to cap to make that thing go? I mean, I don't know what's available on that right side of the fender or whatever that could be, but I'm like, there's no way that car was performed well aerodynamically.
But if you're out there riding behind somebody drafting, I mean, it's taking a lot off of you.
Going over the top, on the side.
finishing in the top five is not shocking. Winning the race with a car in that condition was shocking.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Tyler Reddick real quick. He gets the win. Michael Jordan may show up to every race until he loses from here on out, but it's kind of been fun watching. It's been fun in two ways. You know, Jason's favorite driver, Bubba Wallace, I like seeing him being upset and stuff like that. You got to think that's probably bad for him, especially because he was almost the bell cow last year. Reddick wasn't doing so well. Reddick's come out on fire this year. Bubba has had really good finishes, and I think if his teammate wouldn't have won two races, you would be talking about Bubba being extremely good right now.
Right.
Bubba is doing good right now.
Well, they're 1-2 in points.
And by the way, Tate, that's not my favorite driver, but just for the record.
I hope you can sense my sarcasm in what I was saying.
I sense no sarcasm, though.
So, all right, this Victory Lane interview is brought to you by Lakeview Community Church. Lakeview Community Church is pastored by Eric and Lakin Golden. They meet Sundays at 10:30, Sunday night small groups, it's a lot of S's, at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, lakeviewcommunity.church. Let's hear from Tyler Reddick.
We're actually not going to hear from Tyler Reddick. We're going to hear from his crew chief, Billy Scott.
Let's hear from Billy Scott.
Yeah, last year definitely remained a challenge, you know, the whole time. And we spent a lot of time this winter reflecting on that and a lot of deep discussion on how to rebound from that and how to stay focused on the right things and not putting too much emphasis on results. And that's really hard to do when there is so much that revolves around winning and so much expectations that we have on ourselves, but also that comes with this sport and the ownership we have. So just going into it with the approach of controlling things we could control and trying to stay focused on just doing the right processes and expecting results to just naturally come out of that, and for it to happen this quick and, like you said, twice already in two races is amazing.
If he was in the playoffs, he'd already be in the playoffs. Instead, it's the chase. Still got to perform the rest of the year. So anything you see that looks halfway decent, like what was posted today on social media talking about our show, and they even have a little Throwback Thursday action they sent out there. That's done by WebOb Digital Marketing. They can do the same thing for you. They can make everything look professional that you put on social media. Give them a look-see at WebOb.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR. We've got a little when we come back right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, heated by Dale's Heating and Air, and I cannot wait to say it's cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Can I get some warm temperatures? Seasonal depression.
Last week, not just terrible, not just because I was laying in a bed all week.
Yeah, well, yeah,
beautiful
weather.
We can
talk about that for a second. I mean, I've been the only committed person to this show. I mean, here the last 2 weeks.
I was ready to go. You just didn't want to be around me last Wednesday.
That would have been kind of fun. Give Dale a call if you want to get that cooling system checked out to make sure it's going to work. 423-509-8787, or do like we do, just call dales.com. All right, it's time for news in the world of NASCAR, and that's brought to you by Bradley Veterinarian Hospital. BVH is a locally owned veterinarian hospital that will see animals from as small as your new puppy to livestock on your farm. With over 50 years of service and five highly trained veterinarians that live in the town they work in, this is your could be your last stop for all your veterinarian needs. I've trusted them with my dogs for over 40 years, and you can too. Give them a call, 423-479-2051, or visit their website, bradleyvet.com, to make your appointment today. All right, big news that's happened over the past, I guess, week and a half, kind of broke after Jason and I did the show last week, was JGR versus Chris Gabehart. You know, Chris Gabehart being with JGR for a long time, more importantly, being with Denny Hamlin for a lot of that time, I guess got caught taking information on the setups and all that stuff from JGR. And went to Spire Motorsports. It was found out by JGR. Of course, JGR not happy about that. They have since filed a temporary restraining order. The restraining order keeps him from doing anything at Spire Motorsports. So I guess trying to recoup the information so that doesn't happen. So
has the injunction been granted? I don't think it's been granted. They've applied for.
I just read from Per Bob Pockers, I think. When I read his tweet, it said that they had the temporary restraining order.
That it was in place?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and that would typically happen until they figure out what's going on in the legal world.
Yeah, but the judge doesn't necessarily have to grant it if he doesn't think there's
stuff.
I've heard more legal stuff out of NASCAR in the past year than I've heard in my entire life.
Well, you know, when I asked Alex Hayden at the end of last year, what was NASCAR going to be remembered for? What was it? It was legal stuff. So it wasn't even the racing.
Yeah.
All right. So another news, Keelan Harvick. This was kind of a shocker. Got assigned to a long-term contract with Toyota, which Kevin Harvick never drove for. So that's a big thing. Jason, is that a miss by, I don't know, Hendrick? I mean, Hendrick was usually pretty good about signing young drivers. You got somebody in Keelan Harvick.
You got young, but this is extremely young, right, in my opinion.
But extremely good, though.
No, I mean, somebody wants to go out there, and it's no different when you look at it as in football recruiting of these colleges. I mean, they're going to go out there and offer some phenom 11-year-old kid to come play.
I think that's only Lane Kiffin, but yeah.
Pretty much. But, you know, it happens. It happens in all this stuff. But, yeah, it's kind of shock to me because I'm sitting here thinking, Toyota. Are we talking about Brexton Bush here?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's Keelan Harvick. So.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward. I think Richard Childress has got Brexton locked down, supposedly, right?
All right? I'd look for somewhere else if I was Brexton.
No kidding. All right, All-Star format come out this week. First, not happy that it's at Dover, of course, but Scott's pretty happy about the format, right, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a tremendous format. Just tremendous. It's tremendous.
Oh, is this the – wait, Donald Trump?
No, we're not going to get into that all day. Format Sunday, I think it's May 14th.
You're the professional.
I'm not professional. It's sometime in May. I'm not paying attention that much. Top 36 cars, all the charter cars get in. They'll do qualifying. I think it's going to be a 3-lap qualifying attempt with a 4-tire stop after lap number 2.
Let me ask Bob Pockers, do they have lights?
No, they do not have
lights. It'll be in the daytime.
Yeah, that's even worse.
I'm excited.
And then they're going to run, I mean, essentially a race. They're running 75, 75, and 200, so 350 laps. After the first stage, they're going to invert the top 26 cars and send them back out. And then after the second stage, they are going to only keep the top 26 cars, and those cars will race for $1 million. So that came out today. You shouldn't have to do math you shouldn't have to have a math degree to figure out who's running in an all-star race. And can we not figure this out?
All right.
It's again,
trying too hard, man.
They're
what they're doing.
Trying way too hard. Nobody wants to watch them run Bristol once, not Bristol, Dover once, let alone watch them run Dover for an all-star race. I don't understand.
All-star race deserves an all-star track, and Dover just doesn't cut it.
What does, though?
Run it back in Atlanta. Run as many times as you want to run in Atlanta. I'm all in. Go to Homestead.
It'd be like COVID when we were doing the radio show during COVID. It's like, we're going to Darlington.
We're going to Darlington. We're going to run three times this week at Darlington. Yeah. I don't care.
Kind of run
something. This is not it for me. I'm not feeling the all-star. I'd rather have a week off than to run it at Dover.
Throw it back in Charlotte.
I mean, and then, you know, the beauty of the All-Star, it gives you an opportunity to try some things, to be a little gimmicky, to do some stuff. And then to just roll this out, well, we're going to invert the field after, you know, the first stage, and we're going to run essentially a full-length race during the afternoon in the middle of May.
May 17th, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. That's exciting.
That's a better start time, anyway. Better than 3:30 or 2:30. Got Tate White in the studio. Tate, if you had your wish of where you wanted the All Star race to be, where would you do it at?
Either Atlanta or Charlotte. Right. Number one, two good tracks, two good racing. Number two, marketing. That's what I was thinking while y'all were talking about it. Marketing probably could be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You see, all the other sports, when it comes to their All Star game or anything, they market it. Like you see MLB, when they came to Atlanta, they marketed it good. They had all these things down over by the stadium and all that for the fans. You don't see that when you go to All-Star Race.
Why didn't he have his own podcast?
I don't know, but I like it, Tate. In addition, you know, you threw out Charlotte there as well, and that's what I brought up, Charlotte. You know, it also gives these teams, because all the shops are over in North Carolina, it gives them more time. It basically gives them a bye week to where they can stay local and don't have to travel.
I mean, I get it. When they moved it away from Charlotte, you know, there were some issues. And the race at Charlotte was a struggle. That's why they brought the Roval back. The racing at Charlotte has been so good the last few years that it's time to reconsider and just tag it all together and do it the weekend before the 600 and just kind of have a week of celebration for the sport in the home of the sport.
The Hall of Fame's there, as Jamie knows. We heard all about that.
It's there.
I think it just logistically it makes sense. You know, NASCAR talked years ago. They're trying to save money. They're not sending, you know, all these guys out west. They're trying to just save money. Here's your way to save money. Just combine it with the 600 and let's go back.
I got a way they can save some money. Stop running two races, some of these court tracks, like Dover.
Dover.
You want the All-Star race, you get the All-Star race. Do you want a regular season race? You get the regular season race. You don't get them both.
You got a four-lane drag strip over there. Let's line them up and hit that at Charlotte.
The only thing I can see when they talk about Charlotte is you're going to be running there already two times, so that would be a third time.
Yeah.
No, that's the only negative I could see.
No, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, but make a different package for it. Like, have an experimental package like they've done in the past.
Do something different.
Yeah.
I think NASCAR tries too hard to be gimmicky.
Yeah.
And it backfires every time, it seems like. But
run some heat races. Let's do it old school dirt track style.
Yeah.
Where you go out there, you put eight cars in the field, top three at Van. Just do 25 lap races and then have a 50 lap feature with the top 10 cars.
And make it a bring what you bring. Bring what you got.
What you do, you go up to Bristol, you put them on the drag strip.
Yeah.
And you let, I'm talking about they're stock cars.
Yeah.
And you have heat races through there.
That's
and
how you set your lineup.
And that's how you set your lineup. Then you then you take the cars down to the speedway and run them at Bristol.
Yeah. Well, they've had John. I was down at the Coca-Cola 600 one year, 08, 09. John Force lit it up in his dragster down the pit road. It was pretty cool.
This sport's so old fashioned. We went to a playoff format from 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we didn't like what was going on the last few years.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything that radical.
No. But what is not radical is the NASCAR Cup point standings. Those are brought to you just like last year and I think the year before by Bree Maya with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust and you should too. Give her a call at 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, for the first time, no, second time this year.
No,
I don't know. I've been here all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have
points. I wasn't here last week.
Anyway, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the running of the Auto Trader 400 from Atlanta Motor Speedway. Tyler Reddick with a 40-point lead over his teammate, Bubba Wallace, Chase Elliott, Carson Hocevar, for all of you haters out there, and Zane Smith are your top five. Joey Logano, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski, and Chris Buescher are top 10. Ross Chastain, Noah Gragson, William Byron, Ryan Preece, Chase Briscoe, and Jamie's favorite driver, SVG, are your top 16. And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standing.
Brought to you by Bree Maya with Cry Like Realtors. Listen, she's helping me buy a house, buy a little townhome, getting that done, going to have a little Airbnb. She took care of that for me. You should give her a call. She can do the same for you. 1-269-598-6243. When we come back, it's time to move on to the next race. Unfortunately, that's COTA. We'll talk about it right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, heated by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, the boys. We're all back.
All three of us.
We got our 12th listener in 13 years, and that would be Tate White, who... he was a seventh grader at Lake Forest Middle School. He's going to bring us into the third segment. Tate, who is the third segment brought to you by? Got to read. Yeah, that's right. Right there. Tate, there we go.
It's time to move on to the next race in your life. Your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or call them at 763-1000.
Look at that guy. Lake Forest, they're teaching reading over there in Lake Forest. So it's kind of weird to hear
way
somebody.
Way better than you some days.
I know. It's weird to hear somebody read something you wrote. That's awkward, too, because you're like, man, that didn't sound good. So, all right, let's check from a couple of drivers. Our partners at MRN interviewed three drivers this week about COTA, one being Christopher Bale, who got taken out last week by one Carson Hocevar. And I asked Mr. Bale, what do you remember about last year's battle at the end of the COTA race?
It was a great battle at the end of the race. It was William. William was there. I think Tyler showed up late. And Kyle was just doing a magnificent job of getting off the corners, the important corners, good enough that I couldn't make a run on him. And I tried to make a run on him getting into turn one, and I had to bail on it because I wasn't going to get there in time without running into him. And, yeah, he was really doing a great job of staying in front of me with a slower car. Everyone raced really, really respectful and really hard, and it really showcased the greatness of road course racing in NASCAR.
Kyle Larson was asked, what did the change to the shorter course do for racing at COTA last year?
Well, I thought that it sort of added a little bit of a passing zone into that, I don't know if it's turn six or whatever it is. So that was good. And then I think, you know, just getting to go past the fans more often was probably better for the show and the experience. So, yeah, I was happy that they had done that. And I thought the track crews or whatever did a good job with, like, the barriers and all that. So, or tire packs. So I assume that's what we're going back with. And, yeah, so I thought it was an improvement for sure.
All right, so the Australian racer, who I'm sure was pretty good in the V8 supercars down in Australia, not so much in NASCAR, Shane Van Gensbergen, was asked, why did COTA
seem... You mean the guy that won five times last year?
Yeah, on road courses. Why did COTA seem more difficult for you compared to the other road courses last year?
Yeah, I struggled last year on the restarts. I think I led quite a lot of the race, and we were competitive. I just didn't drive very well at the end, and then... the way the strategy played out, I could have done a bit better myself. But, yeah, we were fast there. I think qualified second or third. And it's just so hard to put these races together, you know, to have, you know, we did well in the other races, but it's very rare in NASCAR that the fastest car wins with no problems all day. It's hard to get these races right.
I guess the only thing I like about COTA is turn one becomes a little bit of a disaster and kind of fun. But once you get it worked out there, there's not really much happens throughout the rest unless you have a little battle at
which
the end.
To me is a little disappointing because, you know, I think back in the day when we didn't do very much road course racing, we always thought this would be one of the better tracks for it. I don't know if it's the car or the type of tire they take down there, but the racing has just not been as competitive as I thought it would. It's still not it doesn't hold the same standard that a Watkins Glen or a Sonoma holds in the circuit. It's better than the Roval, yeah. But
and I think better than Indy road course too.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm just, you know, because it is a world class track. You know, F1 runs there a lot. They have a lot of racing there, but it just hasn't quite lived up to the bill. Hopefully, you know, they've made some changes to the car, and maybe we'll see a little better show. I hope so. You know, this car has raced pretty well on road courses, so I want to see him continue to get better and see if somebody can compete with SVG this weekend.
You know, I think, you know, what is this, our third time at COTA? It's really hard for me to get a good,
because the first time was monsoon. Was
the first was a monsoon. They had to shorten it, and it's kind of just it just left a bad taste in my mouth. So let's see what they can come out there and run this week and how the product looks.
All right, this week's schedule is brought to you by Porter Concrete. Jonathan Porter and his family have been concreting driveways, sidewalks, foundations, and pool decks for many years. Finding the right person to handle your concrete project is important. I've trusted Porter Concrete for all of my concrete needs. You can trust them with yours. Whether it's commercial or residential, large or small, they'll do them all. Give them a call, 423-596-0000. 0740 HEDA.
Okay, here's your schedule for COTA this weekend. On Friday on the CW app, O'Reilly practicing qualifying at 5. On Saturday at 10 o'clock, this is a little different. So at Prime, you got the Cup qualifying and practice at 10. So 2:30 on CW, you got the pre-race for the O'Reilly series. 3 o'clock, the O'Reilly series on CW, the race. Sunday on Fox, you get 2:30 race day. Then the race is at 3:30 Eastern time.
With only a 5% chance of rain.
You should be pretty excited about a 3:30.
I'm just excited about 5% rain versus 100 like we saw a few years ago.
Tell you what I'm most excited about.
What?
In about a week and a half, time changes.
There's no doubt about that.
That's going to be a good day.
That could be its own show in itself.
I will lose an hour of sleep.
It's brutal the first day.
The first day's brutal, but I don't care.
And even the second day's brutal.
It ain't even brutal for me.
I'll rant about stop messing with the time. Pick one.
Let's just stick with it. There's only one we can pick.
No, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I'm not going dark.
I'm all in.
Dark
I'm all
at 5:30.
4:35.
Stop messing with the time.
That is a mess. All right, we got fantasy standings. Finally, we're all here to kind of talk about them. None of us are doing worth the crap. And, you know.
Go figure.
Yeah, that's about it. We'll talk about the fantasy standings and where we finished. We'll also let you know, or maybe just take a guess on who we think is going to do good at COTA right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio. Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, heated by Dale's Heating and Air. I had to find my spot. You did front and back. Got to get you consistent on how you print these things.
It's always front and back.
No.
It was, the one show was...
6 pages.
Was 6 pages.
That was helpful, though. I like 6 pages. As long as we're not using the Bradley County school budget for printing, right?
No, we are not.
Didn't think we were. All right, it's time for fantasy racing. That was a quick no, we're not. I like that. It was good. It has been brought to you by Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Got a new sponsor for the Fantasy Standings, and that's Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services. You probably heard about me talk about my friend Michael Williamson, who owns Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services, and I've known him since high school. And let me tell you, he takes pride in doing things the right way. Whether you need drywall repair, new flooring, electrical work, plumbing fixes, or a fresh coat of paint, Clarity's handyman team can handle it. No shortcuts, no surprises, just solid, dependable work. So if your home needs attention, call Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services today, 423-458-2600, and tell them the Finish Line boys sent you. Heater.
All right, so Echo Park Speedway league standings in first, tied for first, RLM Racing and Loving Left Turns. Then you have Dale's Not Dead.
Yeah, he is.
Brandon Gaines, Wild Racer, then myself.
You know, Wild Racer is probably 12 years old.
Okay.
Whipping her tail.
Kevo Racing.
He's horrible.
Gonna Rattle Your Cage number 3.
He's even more horrible.
And Jamie Kyle, the Dawsonville Dominator, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb, the Real Lyle, Bentley Thomas, Untethered Racing, and Blake Boyle.
The Real Lyle is gonna be a city school board member.
Congratulations.
He'll probably stop playing after that because he'll be too cool.
So overall, Loving Left Turns, RLM Racing, Brandon Gaines, Dale's Not Dead, Wild Racer, myself, Jamie Kyle, Kevo Racing, Scott Webb, Dawsonville Dominator, Arnold Tarpley, The Real Lyle, and going to Rattle Your Cage number 3.
Oh, finishing last.
Yeah, coming up in the pulling up the rear.
Goes with what I call him every week. Horrible. All right, for COTA, I've got Shane Van Ginsbergen.
Shock. No.
Is that a shock player of the week?
That's off limits.
I didn't say I can't pick him. I just know that this. I was down at Talladega last year.
It's tainted. If he wins, it's tainted.
His car reminded me of Richard Petty in, what's that movie, with Lightning McQueen.
Cars.
He's just sitting there, yeah. He's just kind of sitting there because he can't drive.
At least his crew member, his crew chief, don't, well, never mind.
Yeah. Connor Zilich in the second spot. Tyler Reddick to continue his hot streak. And I've got 10 uses of Tyler Reddick, which tells me that I really missed the last 2 weeks. Ross Chastain in the fourth spot. Austin Cindric in the fifth spot. Pretty good little road racer himself. And then Daniel Suarez, mi amigo, from Mexico, Daniel Suarez, in my garage. I've got Van Gensbergen over Zilich, which I'm going to have to do something there. I may get rid of Van Gensbergen. Tyler Reddick over William Byron. I've got Chastain over Kyle Busch and Briscoe over Ty Gibbs. NASCAR says if you are a betting person that 120 to 1, it's Shane Van Gensbergen. I'll give you a little stat there. He's led the most laps in four of the last five road course races and won the last five road course races, finished in the top 10 in the last eight. So he's okay at road course races. He's horrible everywhere else. And Christopher Bell won this race last year, three-time road course winner, and finished top five in six of the last road course races. And he's a hot pick as well. 4,500 to one, avoid Ryan Blaney. 6,000 to one. You better avoid that Denny Hamlin guy. And the sleeper, plus 3,500. 3,500 to one. That'd be Alex Bowman. If you got a gambling problem, stop. Peter, what you got?
I'm going to, well, these are subject to change as well. I'm going with SVG. I'm going with Christopher Bell. I'm going to go Chase Briscoe, Connor Zilich, Tyler Reddick, AJ Allmendinger in my garage.
Dinger.
I'm going with SVG over Zilich. I got to pick one, so, yeah. You know. I'm going with Byron over Reddick, and I'm just hedging here. Going Ross Chastain over Kyle Busch and Briscoe over Gibbs.
All right, Scott, before you go, let's go get Mr. White over here to get his
ahead.
Top five. We'll get top six. He's not quite in there yet, but who you got?
My top five is SVG, then I got Chase Elliott.
Shocker. Shocker there with the Elliott car.
I mean, 40th to 5th last time we went here.
Done a little research.
Oh. Yeah, more than what happens on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Who else you got?
And then Christopher Bell.
Yep.
And then Connor Zilch and Kyle Larson. And then my garage is Kyle Busch.
Oh, okay. Wow. Bring out Kyle Busch. Used to drive the M&M car. So that was the thing. Every time Kyle Busch won when he was M&M's, I had to bring M&M's for the boys, and then I got behind on that. Probably still is, man.
You just got it one time.
Yeah, I think we got once.
Who you like, Webb?
A lot of the same names that have been going around the table here. SVG, Connor Zilich, William Byron, Kyle Busch, if you remember correctly, had a chance to win that race late last year, was right up near the front. AJ Allmendinger, if you're going to pick him and use one of those picks, you better get him on a road course. I have Alex Bowman in my garage. I got SVG over Zilich, Byron over Reddick, Kyle Busch over Ross Chastain, and I have Ty Gibbs over Chase Briscoe.
Should be interesting. Like that 3:30 start, I guess we could go, I don't know. It's good, I guess. I do miss the West Coast swing, if what we used to have when we would leave Daytona and go to West Coast. I mean, the Atlanta race kind of makes up for it, but you almost miss the old California.
But I would love to see Atlanta be part of the swing back through when it's a little warmer. Go to Phoenix and Vegas early in the year. I know it's a little stressful going from one end of the country to the other end.
Knock
of the country.
Out Sonoma while you're out there.
Yeah.
You know?
I just don't quite understand. The schedule part drives me. We always keep hearing, they're going to do something with the schedule. They're going to do something with the schedule. And then they don't do anything with the schedule.
Logistically, it makes sense. Go to Daytona. Go from Daytona. Go hit Las Vegas. Go hit Phoenix. Go hit Sonoma.
Well, and next week we will hit Phoenix. March 8th we'll be over there.
Right.
In Phoenix
for the
Wireless 500.
Or you can, if you want to be, you could go to COTA right after Daytona.
Yeah.
I don't, kind of break up the trip. Go there.
That'd be
go
an
to
odd
Phoenix,
deal, though, man.
To
me, it's like that. Momentum plays a big role in a lot of stuff, right? And so if you have a big Daytona race, right now they're kind of on a heater. No pun intended here. But they're on a heater as far as, having a great run at Daytona. You know, you got Michael Jordan involved in that. You've got Reddick running around, and then he comes back and wins in Atlanta.
Yeah, but Reddick's capable of running well this week.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, if you had a great deal at Daytona, and then you snooze fest at COTA.
Or it could be the exact opposite of what happened, what was it, a couple years ago, where Kyle Busch had a great start of the season, led late in the Daytona 500, almost won the Atlanta race, and then – that was just fool's gold because we're pack racing. So I think it can have the opposite effect. It can give you a sense of you're better than you actually are.
Right.
So we haven't really got to a track yet. And this week's is not going to help us solve that problem because it's going to be guys that can run on a road course. What's going to happen at Phoenix and Las Vegas, those races will be more indication of who's actually going to be serious threats to make a deep run come later this year.
You know, some of those teams that have struggled at Daytona and Atlanta and may struggle this week at Coda are chomping at the bit to get
to a place.
They just
want to get back to regular racing.
Right. So it should be interesting for sure. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll break down Coda and get you ready for Phoenix for Tate White, Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand. I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.